Birth, Volume 3, The Gathering, Chapter 29. "Are you ready for this?" asked Dick as he and Katie watched the elevator door close in front of them. "Actually, I've never been so ready and so scared in my entire life," said Katie. "Why are you scared?" asked Dick. "I know you're always ready for the green flag, but I get nervous in front of crowds, especially when I'm the one on stage," said Katie. "I used to freak out on race day, so I learned a trick that helps, but it sounds goofy," said Dick. "What is it? What's your secret sauce, driver?" asked Katie, shaking his arm. "I put myself in the winner's circle before the race ever starts. I try to look back on the race from the future as though I've already won," said Dick. "Oh, so I should think about the honeymoon and look back on the wedding like, oh, that was no big deal. Is that your secret?" asked Katie. "Yeah, you know, it's like acting on the idea you had after you screwed it up wishing you could have done things differently." "I just do things differently the first time," said Dick. "Like an extra life in a video game." "Great," said Katie. "Where do you think the idea came from?" "Look, we're getting married by the president. That's cool, right? We only have to repeat a few words, kiss, shake a whole bunch of hands, and eat cake. Easy peasy," said Dick. "Just don't let me trip on my dress, okay?" said Katie. "Hell, I'll go down with you, if you don't land on me too hard," said Dick, putting his arm around her. "That would be funny, but let's not do that anyway," said Katie. The two of them walked slowly down to Building A. The entire street had been transformed. There were white lights hanging from the lampposts and from the buildings. There were chairs set up in the street that looked like they could seat 3,000 people. They could smell the steamers warming food, and there was a small army of chef's hats running back and forth from one of the carts with silver server trays. "Hey, guys," came the booming voice from behind them. "Hey, Rhino. Lisa, you look marvelous," said Dick, spinning and grabbing up Rhino's huge hand in his. "Congratulations. I can't wait to see your dress," said Lisa, smiling and hugging Katie. "I'm pretty amazed at what they can do with tablecloths," said Katie. "Elaine is like this Air Force fairy godmother. Wait till you see this tux. Pretty snazzy, if I do say so," said Dick. "Is Donna helping you?" asked Lisa. "Her job is to keep me from stepping on the dress and falling down." "Bridesmaid," said Katie. "I'm sure you will be just fine," said Lisa. "I think everything smells great," said Rhino. "That's what I know," said Dick. "First we get married, then we eat. Come on, showtime is less than an hour away," said Katie. "We gotta go, guys. See you later." "I'll be the one in the new shoes," said Dick, smiling as he took Katie's hand and walked into the busy lobby of Building A. They moved like a quiet pair of butterflies through the crowd and into the elevator. It stopped at the third floor and let everyone out for the cafeteria, leaving them alone for the last two floors. "Kiss me one last time as a single woman," said Katie, turning to face him. "I've always been yours. It just took me a while to find you," said Dick, kissing her warmly until the doors opened on the fifth floor. "Okay, you two. One last look, and then let's get our wedding on," said the girl behind the laundry desk. "I'm so nervous," said Katie. "You should not be nervous. The girls are waiting for you through those double doors. Mr. Daring, if you will go to the end of the hall, she will get you fitted and dressed," she said. "Bye for now, Mr. Daring," smiled Katie as she pushed open the double doors behind the desk. "I'll see you on the street in 1 hour," said Dick, smiling back at her. "Off you go, right down the hall to the same place you went this morning," said the girl. Somehow the hallway seemed longer than it had that morning. He glanced at the bulletin board, rounded the corner past the freight elevator and the smell of hot water, which he realized was actually a steam press that was operating as he entered the double doors down the hall. "Welcome back, Mr. Daring. Right this way and slide those shoes off right over there. You won't need them again," said Elaine, reaching for the plastic-shrouded garment on the rack next to the wall. "Everybody calls me Dick," he said, sliding off his shoes and hopping up on the wooden box. "Sounds flashy," said Elaine. "It's part of the game," said Dick. "I'll bet it is. Jump down from there and go put these pants on in the restroom right there, and put on these black socks, okay?" said Elaine. He grabbed the socks with one hand and picked the hanger out of her hand with the other. He closed the door behind him in the bathroom and slid off his dress jeans, changed socks, then put on the shiny black trousers, noticing that the hoop and hook latched perfectly to his waist, while the pant legs hung a little long. He pulled them up as he opened the door and walked over to the box. "Now you can get up on that box. Slide your feet into these shoes and stand still," said Elaine. Her hands worked quickly with straight pins she picked from between her lips, stabbing them in several places around his ankle. "Now, slide this jacket on, please." "I take it this is not made from used black signal flags," he said as he slid his arms into the sleeves and shrugged on the jacket. 100% made in the USA worsted wool, Dick. I just happen to have a few yards left," she said. "So my first suit is a custom-tailored tuxedo," said Dick, running his fingers down the flawless lapel. "Let your arms hang down. You should try wearing them a little more often. You're built for a suit, my good man," she said. "I feel like I should be playing cards in Monte Carlo or something," he said. "Hold that thought for another hour or so, because you, my boy, have seen nothing yet. Slide that off and let me have those pants back," she said. He came out of the bathroom with the pants carefully over his arm and wearing his jeans and the shiny new shoes on his feet. He watched with amazement as Elaine ran the cuffs of the pants and jacket through the sewing machine and trimmed the excess material and threads like a surgeon removing stitches. She placed them into the steam press and lightly pressed the black wool into perfect form, running her hands over every inch to feel for any wrinkles. She walked back with the jacket on a hanger and the pants clipped to the crossbar and reached up on the rack and grabbed another garment wrapped in plastic. "Here is a pleated white shirt. Go get fully dressed, and I will get your bow tie and put it on for you. Hurry up now. You can't be late for your own wedding," she smiled. The shirt was smooth and crisp against his skin, and the buttons slipped smoothly into the hidden buttonholes all the way down to his crotch. The pants slid on perfectly, and he tied the shoes snugly. He picked the vest off the hanger and buttoned it completely. It was snug on his lean frame, and he slid the jacket on and looked in the mirror, thankful he had shaved and trimmed his hair around his ears a little. He opened the door, and Elaine slipped her hands around his collar to insert the black bow tie. It snapped behind his neck, and she cinched it up neatly around his neck and snapped his collar into place. Her fingers slid down the lapel to make one last check for loose threads or flaws. "Clothes sometimes make the man, Dick. I knew these peaked lapels would look perfect with that vest. Now, go look amazing," she said, smiling broadly at him. "Thank you. You truly are a fairy godmother," he said. "Is that what they told you? Well, this might be the best I can do with you. But wait till you see what we did with your Katie," she said, gripping his shoulders and looking into his eye. She pointed to the double doors, and he walked up to the front desk. "Oh, my heck, that is snappy, Mr. Daring," said the girl at the front desk. "I couldn't get away with much dressed like this," he said. "Oh, I think you could get away with pretty much anything dressed like that," she said, looking down to his shoes and back up to his jet-black hair. "I'll second that," said Lorraine as the elevator door closed behind him with her standing there. "Oh, wow, am I glad to see you. I mean, I really didn't want to walk out there alone," said Dick, trying to say the right thing. "I'm here for you. Take my hand." "Let's get you to the wedding," she said, letting her blue-green eyes disappear in her smile. "Oh, I just thought of this. Who's giving Katie away?" asked Dick. "Hadid insisted. There is something very special going on there. Come on, let's go," she said, taking his hand and pressing the button on the elevator. "What do you think of this tux? "Elaine is a magician," said Dick as the door closed on the elevator. "The president really is about as nervous as you are. He is so happy you asked him. Really, this is going to be amazing," she said. "I'll try to remember that as I'm sweating spinal fluid up there," he said. "Think of it like everyone is getting married with you. You two give us all hope that there is actually a future. Just hang in there. I know you're going to be fine," she said as the elevator door opened into the lobby. Building A is always busy with someone coming or going for all the work done in this building. The crowd stopped to look at Dick, and someone started clapping. Within seconds, the whole place erupted into loud whistles, cheers, and clapping as Dick and Lorraine waved their way to the double doors leading to the street. "Winner's Circle," said Dick quietly as he smiled to the crowd and waved. "That's the spirit," said Lorraine as they walked together down toward Building E where the stage was set up. The street was clogged, and light conversations bubbled from thousands of people who lived and worked at Site R. Within a few minutes, they arrived at the small group of soldiers in dress uniforms standing by the stairs by the stage. Rhino towered above them and saw them coming. He grabbed Lisa's hand and walked toward them. "You look like a movie star," said Rhino. "I agree. That looks great," said Lisa. "Where's your best man?" asked Lorraine. "He's never missed a race day yet. He'll be here," said Dick. "Well, I hope so. There's the president and Hadid." "Okay, just like we practiced. You stand here and wait for the president's signal. I've got to go in the back and get something else ready," said Lorraine. "Just like we rehearsed," said Dick. "And no peeking. Just look that way," said Lorraine, pointing toward the brass band as she backed away and turned to walk down three buildings to the back of the chairs set up in the street. "This is going to be awesome, my brother," said Rhino. "Who knows? Maybe you'll start something," said Lisa, poking Rhino in his ribs. President Riker stepped up on the stage with a small tablet in his hand. He looked over the crowd and turned his head toward where they were standing. Dick was looking at him when he gave a nod to Dick. There was a small hint of feedback from the sound system as whoever was running the sound tested the volume limits. He looked around for Kyle but could not see him anywhere. A small wave of panic ran through him as he realized he was about to start the biggest race of his life without his favorite crewman. "Ladies and gentlemen, if you will please find a seat, we are about to begin the main event. See you in about 5 minutes," said Riker over the smooth bass of the speakers. "Guys, here's the thing. Kyle's got the rings. He had them made at the machine shop and set the best industrial diamonds we could pick out of the bin. Without him, there's no showtime," said Dick to Rhino closely. "Relax, bro. He'll be here," said Rhino, putting his huge hands on Dick's shoulders and mashing them loose. "Oh, there he is," said Lisa, jumping a little. "Well, it helps to be able to see over other people's heads," said Dick, using his humor under all circumstances to make himself calm. Rhino waved to catch Kyle's attention while he made his way through the crowd that was moving toward the seats in the street. Within a minute, he poked through the people to be next to Dick with the soldiers standing around them. "Wow, where are all these people the rest of the time?" asked Kyle, breathing quickly. "Let's see what you got," said Dick, holding out his hands. Kyle opened the small blue box packed with black velvet and adorned with two rings made from gold. The industrial diamonds sparkled, although the large one did have a crystal-clear window in the center rather than the tiny facets that would normally reflect the light. "These are the best I could do. One of the machinists is also a lapidary. Without him, it wouldn't look so good," said Kyle, closing the lid on the box. "You're the best, little brother," said Dick, putting his hand on Kyle's shoulder. "Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?" asked Riker from the microphone. The crowd began to sit down all at once, and the din of human voices echoing off the cavernous walls ebbed away into the amber tunnels of Site R. The soldiers arranged themselves by height and brought themselves to attention in front of a small, bright-looking woman in navy whites facing them. She glanced at Dick and winked. She brought her arms up with her gloved hands slightly curved with her index fingers pointing. And then the most beautiful voices of those men came together and began to sing without music. This was not in the rehearsal. They were a few feet away from Dick as the crowd backed away and the rest sat down with the first few words. The slow and harmonious sound coming from their voices echoed naturally off the walls and ceiling, producing a most phenomenal effect. Wise men say, only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Would it be a sin if I can't help falling in love with you? Like a river flows surely to the sea, darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to be. Take my hand, take my whole life too, for I can't help falling in love with you. The last notes echoed to silence, and the crowd didn't make a sound. Suddenly the band director raised his baton on the other side of the stage, and the orchestral notes of the wedding march began. Thousands of people in the crowd turned their heads to look down the street, and there in the center was a small figure in white. Dick didn't see a spotlight shining down from the cavernous roof, but the amount of light coming off of Katie was enough to blur the vision. The veil over her face was wispy and laced with silver thread to sparkle the light over her face. The dress was full and long and stretched back into the white-gloved hands of Donna walking behind her. Hadid was tall and dark, holding his right arm like an iron bar upon which Katie's soft hand rested as she slowly walked and smiled at the crowd, nodding slightly from side to side as people made eye contact with her. No queen could have caressed the hearts of the people the way she was doing at this moment. It was like she was the mother of all earth, bearing the first child to be born on this world. Dick could barely breathe when Rhino touched his arm and urged him to remember his part. He handed the box back to Kyle nervously, and they walked slowly to the stage to stand in front of President Riker on the stage. They both looked down the aisle in the street as the band repeated the wedding march. Time froze as this moment of beauty froze, only with one angel in motion, capturing his soul. Hadid and Katie stopped a few feet away from the stage steps. "Ladies and gentlemen, Katie has become our girl. I am sure she has captured the heart of everyone who has met her. So I ask, who presents this young woman to be married to this man?" asked Riker. "Her family on this world and I do," said Hadid, lowering his arm and stepping back one step behind Katie. And she stepped up on the stairs to the left of the stage with Donna arranging her trail behind her and lowering it gently to the deck. "Dear people of Earth, we are gathered here to join these two in matrimony. I know there are traditional words to say at this time, but I'm not a preacher or a holy man. I only thought I was being humbled to be elected president. I am without words, as I have been since Dick asked me to marry Katie to him. So at this moment, I would like the groom to say his name and his vow to his bride-to-be," said Riker as he moved the mic boom to be near Dick's mouth. "I, Richard Daring, take you, Katie Decatur, to be my wife. I drove as fast as I could, as far as I could, to find you. I have always known you, and I have always loved you. I give my whole soul to you, and only you, throughout all time and throughout all eternity. For I know with all my heart that we never die," said Dick with a slight shiver to his voice. "I, Katie Decatur, take you, Richard Daring, to be my husband. We go through life sometimes asleep. I am grateful beyond words that you kissed me and awakened me to who I really am. I have always been yours, and will always be yours forever and ever," said Katie smoothly. "Do you have the rings?" "Thank you, Kyle." "Do you, Richard Daring, take Katie Decatur to be your wife for time and all eternity?" asked Riker. "I do," said Dick. "Do you, Katie Decatur, take Richard Daring to be your husband for time and all eternity?" asked Riker. "I do," said Katie. "Then with the power invested in me as President of the United States of America, I accept this highest honor and join you together as one in spirit and flesh. You may kiss the bride," said Riker. Dick raised the veil from Katie's beautiful face and kissed her firmly and placed his hands on her shoulders. "Ladies and gentlemen, I present Mr. and Mrs. Richard Daring," said Riker, holding his arms out wide. The entire street stood up and cheered loudly, whistled, and clapped for what seemed like an hour. Donna picked up the trail of Katie's dress, and the couple walked down the steps to the aisle to walk past the cheering crowd to the end of the street. The band filled the air with music, and the men's choir sang songs as they made their way to the area in front of Building C. President Riker leaned over and covered the microphone with his hand and leaned in close to Kyle. "Did it go?" he asked. "Yes, Mr. President, the whole thing. They got it," said Kyle. "You're a good man. Let's see if we can get something to eat. Come on, Hadid. You're with us," said Riker, putting his arm around Kyle's shoulder and walking down the steps to join him.